For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Wednesday evening service of Brother Jack Harris.
And so Friday comes, and I drove over there. It was about 50 miles from where I live. And they've had, you know, it was a small country church. It's about 40 people there, I guess. And they was all gathered, and they, you know, I met them, and they was nice, really good people. And so he invited me up on the platform. We used to always sit on the platform. And I went up and sat on the platform with him, and the preliminary singing and shouting, and oh, they had a time. And everybody's having a good time but me. I was having a terrible time. And I was real nervous, but I didn't tell this other preacher, hey, I ain't never preached none. I didn't want him nervous, too. And so when the time come, well, he finally turned around to him and said, come on, Brother Harrison, preach. So you know what I did? I just come on and preached. And ever since then, somebody's been saying, come on, Brother Harrison, preach. You know what I do? I just come on and preach. the Lord so blessed that he said, hey, what are you doing next week? Let's start a revival. You already got one started. Can you come tomorrow night? And for a few nights? I said, yeah, I'll come. So I preached there about 2 weeks. And in the meantime, other pastors from neighboring churches came in. And before my revival was over there, I had 10, 12 more lined up around pretty close by there. I preached them out, and then I went, and somebody wanted me to go on the radio, you know, and preach on the radio and sang a little bit of country western spirituals. So I started doing that. And of course I was going to church too, and I always had a home church, always. Everybody ought to have a home church while I'm there. So the church that I'm at now got without a pastor, and they had asked me if I'd be available for when they elected them back then, and I had rejected the ideal, but anyhow, I wasn't there, so they entered me with they elected me pastor. So they sent somebody over to the radio station that afternoon. That's over my wife and I, and we was doing, you know, an hour program, and they come tell me what they had done. So, you know, I wasn't expecting nothing like that at all. But I said, well, I'll be out there tonight, and I don't want a pastor, but I'll come tonight and preach for you tonight, and I'll talk to the folks. So I went that night and preached for them, and then I talked to them, and I said, now, look, I don't want a pastor. I appreciate the confidence you've placed in me, and I probably don't deserve it, but I just don't want the pastor. But they their countenance kind of failed. So I thought, well, what'll it hurt? So, you know, so I said, well, all right, tell you what I'll do. I still don't want a pastor, but I'll fill in for you until you can get somebody. But now, don't stop looking for a pastor, because I don't want this to last long. You don't. That was 38 years ago. Sometimes I suspect they ain't even looking for one. Hallelujah. Well, that's how it happened. It just happened to me. And that's the last time anybody ever voted on me. And I wasn't there then. Because by the time it would have come time to vote me again, well, I had already learned enough divine order that I knew that It wasn't supposed to be democratically. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. What is highly esteemed by man is an abomination to God. Is that what Scripture says? Hey, somebody said, well, Peter and the apostles at Jerusalem cast lots. They think that was an election. It's all right. The God had an election. Be all right with me. They did cast lots to see who would be the apostle that would take Judas' place, didn't he? But that was before the Holy Ghost fell. After the Holy Ghost fell, they never did do it that way no more.
Amen. Amen.
How did they do it after that? They prayed over them, and the word of prophecy would come and set apart them for the ministry that God had called them unto. That's the scriptural way. That's divine order. And that's the only order, like I say, nobody voted on me in church matters since then. Hallelujah. I'm still filling in. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I was showing you here that this scripture, this 29th verse, says, for the gifts, plural, and calling, singular, of God are without repentance. God doesn't make any mistakes. Notice that the gifts are diversified. There are many of them. Well, I don't know how many gifts there are. There's 9 spiritual gifts so designated, but there's a lot more gifts that are spiritual gifts, too. And it slips my mind just how many I have found in the Scriptures, but I've found a lot of them. But there's one calling. The calling is plural. Hey, you know what God does when He calls us? He don't just follow us around like a tyrant and to see if we're going to fall or fail. He just withdraws and watches us. He keeps His ever watchful eye over us, but He doesn't keep His thumb over us. He gives us a little latitude. Cuts me a little slack. Hallelujah. And see, I may make a false step here, but He believes that before I get to yonder, where I was designated to go, He believes I'll get it straightened out. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And if He believes it, hey, I believe it too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so we made this point. Let's make another one here. In the 75th Psalm, Psalm 75, verse 6, for promotion, what are we preaching about? We're talking about election and promotion. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Did you notice something here that He does not say? He says it doesn't come from the east, the west, or the south, but He does not say that it doesn't come from the north, because the north is where God is depicted as in residence. That's why that Lucifer wanted to build his kingdom. He wanted to have his headquarters over in the north side, because he already knew that the world would be ruled from the north side, from Zion. That's where Zion was. Hallelujah. And so promotion then doesn't come from the east, west, or south, but it comes from the north. It comes from God. And we'd be wise if we ever remember that. In the that promotion comes from God. You know, there's a power struggle in all the world tonight. Power struggle everywhere in the government. But would you know that there's also a power struggle in the churches tonight? Hallelujah. What causes power struggles? Ego, greed, men pleasers, and on the list could go. But we that are called of God and are placed into the body, we have confidence. Hey, I'm confident. Paul said, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who hath called me unto a good work is able to perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am too, Paul. Hallelujah. I am confident. I don't have any doubt Man has not called me. Hey, nobody has hired me, so nobody can fire me. I hadn't been hired, and I can't be fired. But God could just breathe against me and whisk me out of the way in a less than a moment's time. But man has not hired me. I'm not a hireling. Hallelujah. Amen. And man can't fire me. Hey, I say this where I'm filling in with all the elders sitting there. Hallelujah. I do. Say, I preach this when the folks that come with me quit saying amen. Hallelujah. Pray. How did I do? Well, and I had all the utmost confidence that the anointing would break the yoke out here. And it never has failed. Not one time has God ever failed me. When I was ordained into the ministry, an apostle prophesied over me and said, you will go all over the world, from nation to nation, from state to state, and everywhere you go, my son, you will quote the scriptures with the chapters, and it'll give you favor with the people and with God, and it'll break the yoke and destroy the fetter. And I have found it to be true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Try to resist me. Try to get mad at me. Hallelujah. Go ahead and try to get mad at me, and you'll see you can't. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you may get mad at me for a minute or two, but I'll get you. The anointing will get you. And before we leave here, you'll be wanting to hug my neck. And I'll let you do it, too. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, so then the promotion comes from God. Yes. Say, I like this. Somebody says, what are y'all? And I said, well, look on our sign. We're Move of God. Yeah. I had the nerve to put Move of God on my sign. Yeah. I said, what is Move of God? Well, it's the latest thing God's doing. It's where God is. Hallelujah. It's not a denomination. Hallelujah. It's a placement. And we have been placed. Say, you know, I said that Satan couldn't believe it. We walk it just because we love and we're dedicated to God. Denomination don't believe it, that we do it for that either. They believe we have some kind of an ulterior motive, or we must have some horrible skeleton in the closet that we've been kicked out of something. Say. Say, I have never been kicked out of anything. Nothing. But I'm a come out of the come outers. Hallelujah. I come out because of revelation. Because God led me out. Say. And everywhere I come out of, I left them in good fellowship and good friendship, anyhow. And they've been wanting me to come back ever since. Of course, if I came back, I'd have to get under their shadow. Hallelujah. Say, it was a few years ago that one friend of mine called me. He wanted me to come preach for him. He belonged to a denomination, one of the Pentecostal denominations, Spirit-filled, anyhow. And so he had asked me to join his outfit there several times. Say, the one requirement they had for you to join was you had to be a member of their church for at least a year. He said, Brother Jack, just let me put your name on my book. You don't have to do nothing. And when you've had it on there a year, well, see, you will have belonged to my church here, and we'll ordain you. Hallelujah. Hey, that's the way they do it up there in the Senate. the Congress. Hallelujah. And so anyway, he gets me to come preach his church, and he calls the state overseer. He thinks the state overseer will like me. And so I preach for him, and the state overseer, he was, I guess, impressed, so he invited us out for lunch the next day. So my friend said, he told me then what was up. He said, oh boy, he said, he's gonna offer you something. And I said, well, I hope it's a 16-ounce steak. So we went out and we had lunch, and he told me, he said, Brother Harris, said, we'd love to have you in our fellowship. They call it a fellowship, but it's a denomination. And said, I tell you, said, I was impressed with you. And said, his friend here said, he told me a lot about you, and a lot of the other brethren know you. And he said, say, I tell you what I do. I have the authority to. It'll have to be approved, but that's just a matter of form. I'll make you a state evangelist. And I said, well, hey, what does this, the state evangelist, what does it permit me to do? He said, you can preach anywhere in the state. And I said, well, goodness, I'm preaching all over the world now. Hallelujah. And hadn't nobody given me no lofty titles. Hadn't been guaranteed a paycheck. Nobody's hired me. And I guess I'm in violation because I've already preached all over this state. And them that borders it too. Hallelujah. Oh, they can't understand that. They think that promotion comes by, you know, well, hallelujah. That's not the way God does it. Say, it looks like people could learn how God does it. God sets them in the body as it pleases the state overseer, the general superintendent, and who else has to finally approve it before it can be verified or, well, no. Yeah. You see, that's not the way. God places us in the body as it pleases Him. And I tell you, if it pleases Him, I think it tickles me. Hallelujah. I really do. And He has placed some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the purpose is for the perfecting of the saints, so the saints can do the ministry of the Lord. Hey, we got to come to Zion. All right, now, I've got to get further into my message here because I know I never get through with any of these. But, all right, I'm going to talk about David's three anointings. You know David's three anointings? David was anointed when he was a shepherd boy in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 13, we'll turn over there and at least we'll be on location. 16 and 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, upon David, from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. All right, now, you know the story here. Every time I pass here, I love to tell this story, but I don't even have time to tell it tonight. God sent Samuel over to anoint a king at Jesse's house, one of Jesse's sons. So Samuel objects, saying, hey, Saul will kill me. Yeah, if he finds it out. Well, he said, make out like you're going to go to do a sacrifice. So Samuel comes down, they see him coming, they're nervous. They send out a runner and ask that old man if he comes in peace or you know, has he got something settled with us? Well, he said, it's peace. So he went on out to Jesse's house, told Jesse what he was there for, and he said, well, yeah, I said, I've come to anoint one of your sons king. He said, go bring him in. So they brought in the oldest one, Eliab. And, oh, he's a strapping big guy, you know. Well, the only king they ever seen was a big guy. So, and he's handsome. I mean, he looks kingly to Samuel. And Samuel, soon as he come in, Samuel looked him up and down and said, oh, surely the Lord's anointed is standing in my presence. Hey, Samuel said that. He reached for his horn of oil and was about to pour it on him when God said to him, "Hey, sit down. I've already rejected this guy." So he said, "Well, bring in, this is not the one, Jesse, bring in another one." He brought in another one till he had brought in seven. And then and God rejected all of them. And Samuel didn't know, he never knew to start with how many sons Jesse had. I imagine he's getting nervous. Did God send him over here to anoint a son, a king? So he says, "Jesse, have you got any more sons?" "Oh, I said I got one lad here. He's over watching the sheep." He said, "Well, go get him. Everybody stand till he gets here." And that's when David come in. Oh, and when Samuel looked at him, he fell in love with David. He was a goodly looking person. Samuel raised up and poured the whole horn oil on him, and an anointing came on him. That was his first anointing. And this first anointing was for progression and maturity. David would, under this first anointing, he would mature and progress toward the day that he would have the third anointing. When he would receive the second anointing, I'll get ahead of myself because I'll give you this for an outline in case you want. When he received the second anointing, under that anointing, he worried about the foundation or was concerned about the foundation of his calling and of the kingdom. And he had limited authority under the second anointing. But when he comes into the third anointing, well, he has unlimited authority. Now, this wouldn't be as interesting as it is, except that it parallels or foretells or foreshadows us. And I'm saying that we have to have three anointings. David could not, you want me to give you the scripture setting for the anointings? Yeah, I guess probably everybody knows that. Second anointing is in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4. And the third anointing is in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 3. And for that one, he gets full responsibility. But now, all right, under the first anointing, he learns how to tend sheep. He learns how to treat sheep. Under the first anointing, he learns how to feed the sheep. Under the first anointing, he learns how to protect the sheep, and he learns how to wait on God.
Hallelujah.
Hey, that's one of the greatest virtues there is, learning the art of waiting on God. What happens to them that wait upon God? They their strength will be renewed, won't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, and under the first anointing, he slays Goliath. Under the first anointing, you can slay your giants. You don't have to. If you wait till you get to Zion, there ain't going to be no giants there. You won't get to slay them. You slay them under the first anointing. When David went up to take his brothers some goodies. They were in the war there, and Goliath paraded up and down. And he said to his brother, "Hey, who is this guy?" "Well," I said, "he's a great champion of the Philistines, Goliath by name. He's been challenging us for 40 days. He comes out every morning and tries to get one of us to come over and fight him. And the trick is that if one of us goes over and fights him and we lose, all of Israel goes into captivity. Of course, if we win, all of the Philistines goes into our captivity." And so David said, well, "What are y'all doing about it?" "Well," he said, we're examining all the military records to see what kind of heroes we got here." we need a hero. and it was here. For a long time, I wondered, hey, why did God reject these fine young men? They looked suitable to Samuel. They looked like they were kingly material. Why did God reject them? Then I found out that's the reason God rejected them, because he knew that under pressure they'd fold. God is looking for a thoroughbred. Hallelujah. With all the qualities of strength and courage, bred right into him. I'm speaking to you of spiritual things, so hear me, Brother Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's looking for a thoroughbred. And he's already got a pattern. I mean, it's not as if he was doing it without a pattern. The blessed Lord was a pattern, and it has pleased God to bring many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God forever. So David says, well, hey, I'll fight him. Any offer is better than none. So they send word to Saul, hey, we got a guy down here who says he'll fight Goliath. Said, well, let's go down and look at him. So he come down and looked at him. I think he's a little disappointed. So Saul took off his armor and gave it to him. And David put it on. It didn't fit him. And he said, well, hey, I hadn't proved this. I tell you what, I'll pull all this off, and I got a slingshot here, and I'm going to go in the name of the Lord. Hey, he said, who does this Philistine think he is anyhow? He's not just challenging me. He's defying the armies of the living God. Why, his brothers didn't know that. They hadn't been over attending them little old sheep. Amen. Learning how to treat saints. Learn how to feed the saints. Oh, praise the Lord. Learning how to pastor. Pastoring is one of the... Oh, it's a really heartbreaking job. A lot of times. It's a rewarding position, but it has its setbacks and heartaches. Oh, yeah, just tear your heart out. If you're a pastor, you couldn't be a pastor unless God calls you to be one. Hey, that denomination couldn't have hired me to pastor a church. I'd have been a hireling and not a pastor. And I'd have just been there with a position. But see, I don't do it that way. A pastor. Say, how you think I've preached over 700 funerals and married right at 400 couples? I'm married in the third generation now. If all these girls want the same preacher to marry them that married their mama. 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I don't know. I never could figure out why so many of them wanted me to marry them unless it was I made a good picture with them. Well, I found out why they wanted me to funeralize them. This one guy told me, said, hey, Brother Jack, said, I want you, or there's another brother there, it was an old Methodist preacher, he's dead now, or Brother Wallace was his name, I want you or Brother Wallace one to preach my funeral. Y'all can say some of the kindest things about the honorary folks. Well, praise the Lord. Ain't no use in beating a guy after he's dead, is it? Hallelujah. And if they want to know where he went, I don't know where he went. Still in this box here while I'm doing it, you know, and I don't know where you. I don't know what his destiny is. I don't know what his experience in God is. There's a good old saints, but somebody out there, man, they might just be saved as, you know, just really saved, and I wouldn't even know it. I sure wouldn't want to put them in the wrong place. I'm glad God does that, aren't you? All right, so hallelujah. Well, David slays the giants under this. He learned, and he waits. He learned that promotion comes from God. Let me read a scripture here that has impressed me from way back. The Lord gave me this direct years back, several years back. It hadn't been as long back as some of the things that the Lord has given me. It's in Judges. Chapter 9, And I think it pertains, is a good example to what we're preaching here about this placing and promotion. And so this story starts to unfold in the eighth chapter, really, but get down to chapter 9, boy, it gets into the goody of it. But Gideon, or Jerubbaal, which is the same one, has died, and he had ruled, he had judged Israel for 40 years. He has 70 sons by several wives that he had. He had several wives, and by these several wives, he had 70 sons. And then he had one concubine, then he had one son by her. So he had 71 sons. Abimelech was the half-breed, if I can use that expression. And so when Israel now has no judge or no leader, well, they're bound to try to get one. So Abimelech goes and communicates with his mother's brothers and so, and says, hey, there's 70 sons over there. You want this thing split up in 70 provinces? Or wouldn't it be more sensible to, I'm the only one of my mother's sons, and Gideon's my father. I'm the only one. Wouldn't it be wiser to just make me king? And rather than them have them 70 vying for power, and, well, the way he presented it kind of made sense, so they just up and anointed him king. And soon as he was anointed king, he went and slew all of his half-brothers, that is, all of them but one. One of them got away, the youngest one, Jotham? And so soon as Jotham hears what has happened, he goes to Mount Gerizim, and he lifts up his voice and lets it roll out across the valleys there, and tells them this story. He says, let me see here where we are. And when they told it in the seventh verse, and he begins his, they told it to him, he goes to Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, you men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. And here's what he tells. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. All of you know that trees often represent men. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Very oft times we are called the trees of the Lord. And so the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, hey, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? Now, we're right on our subject here. He says, hey, I've got a placement right here, and I'm doing a good ministry here. I know that this is a lofty position that you're offering me. He's kind of like I was, I think. But he says, hey, I'm producing olive oil, that, you know, that's my fatness, and it honors God and man. God uses it for an anointing oil. All the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle was anointed with this oil. We still anoint people. We were anointing Brother Frank was anointing people around here. Was it last night? Was it? Well, yeah, it was Brother Flynn with oil. But we had some oil too, Brother, and he gave us some oil, and we stood over here and we got a spot on them too when they come by. Hallelujah. Amen. We still do it. Hey, my grandmother was, as far as I'm concerned, she's the greatest old saint I've been privileged to meet. She's going to be with the Lord for several years now. But if you prayed for her, she wanted you to put the oil on her. I'd come in, she'd say, son, look over on the dresser and get that bottle of oil. I want you to pray for me. You didn't pray for Grandma unless you put the oil on her. I mean, that was, and she'd always get healed. She believed, I mean, her faith she wouldn't have much faith for it if you didn't put the oil on it, probably, and it wouldn't work. But I would do it Grandma's way. It didn't make me no difference. I'll send the word. Say, I think it's effective. Send the word if you believe that, if you can receive that. Irma prays over the phone every day. And Glenn and the other staff around here, perhaps. I know what Irma does it. Oh, often. She's if anybody's got that perfected, Irma has. And you know what she's doing? She's sending the word. Hey, and you know what happens on the other end? Things happen. She ain't close enough putting oil on them, but she wouldn't be opposed to putting oil on them. She'd come up through that same old school I did. But she sends the word. Oh, I've sent the word. Hallelujah. Oh, when I mention this, I want to tell of incidents and things that the Lord has helped me in. I know I don't have time. one incident that I sure came to my mind, but I'm not going to tell it. I'm going to continue here because I got to close here in about 10 more minutes. Give me 10 more minutes, and then I'll take 10 and we'll look up. All right. And in the 10th verse, and the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. The olive tree rejected the offer because it's a fine tree. And the fig tree was next. They'd like to have it next. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? All right, the fig tree has a divine placement already. And he's bringing forth the sweetest fruit there is. And he says, hey, man, I like this. This is what I'm ordained for. This is my calling. I've been set here. I know you're offering me a lofty position, but I'm gonna refuse it. And then in the 12th verse, said the trees under the vine, come thou and reign over us. They're getting scarcer. The better quality is getting scarce. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? He said, man, I make these grapes that I produce, they make wine out of them, and it cheers God and man. And you think I'm going to leave this divine placement and come to be promoted just to please men? Hey, what you think I am, a man pleaser? No, hey, I'm a God called plant. Say everything that he don't plant, we got to pluck up. That's what the Bible says, ain't it? Oh, but they that be planted in the courts of the Lord shall flourish in the house of their God. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is good, and in him there is no unrighteousness at all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, they done run out of likely prospects, and there's an old bramble bush here. You gotta try him next. And that's who he's saying Abimelech was. He's like a bramble bush. And then they said the trees under the bramble in verse 14, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble, you know what a bramble bush is? It just has a few thorns on it and it's good for nothing. Doesn't produce a thing. Just got thorns on it and sticks you every time you get near it. Gouge you. They said, come and reign over us. And the bramble tree said unto them, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. You know, I told you a while ago, if I did join them, I'd have to come under their shadow. And when you come under my shadow, if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Cedars of Lebanon was the choicest trees known. And he said, let this no good bramble, let fire come out of it and destroy them fruitful, the most notable trees in the world. Hallelujah. And I tell you, the bramble has done that a lot. I'm talking to you about spiritual things, you know. The bramble, say, do you ever see some of the morons that they put to the head of their stuff? And he's in a position that he can tear down the trees of Lebanon. Fine men. Let somebody just be moving in the spirit with no ulterior motives, and they'll put a black ball against him and try to make it, try to cut off his open doors. Hallelujah. They'll try to box you in. If you don't bide under the shadow, they'll let the fire of the bramble come out and devour you. Oh, but thanks be to God. He hasn't given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing from my walk with God. Hallelujah. I'm not a bit shook up or nervous about it. Say, sometimes, you know, with trouble in church, my wife, she gets a little nervous about it. And, oh, she said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but let's let it play itself out a little bit here. And, yeah, I don't want to take hold of it unless I have to. I've learned that God works out most things for me. And she would say sometimes, hey, that just destroy a church. And I said, well, hey, if God don't want to move a God church here in Backville, I'd be a fool to want one.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right, too. If he don't want one there, I'd be a fool indeed to want one. To want something that God doesn't want? No, not me. Hallelujah. And if he does want one, I'm the best prospect to lead it. Hallelujah. So who's worried? Just pray. Say, I have learned that God will just work out most things for me if I'll just keep my hand off of it for a while. And if he don't, I can always, you know, some the pastors I came up with, they're afraid to have some preachers want them in their pulpit. I wouldn't want them in the pulpit. They tear up things. I said, goodness, if I had a church that a preacher could come in and preach an hour and a half and tear it up, well, I don't think I'd want it nohow. Hallelujah. Amen. And I tell you, I said, I'm not afraid of them. There ain't nobody can come in there and tear up more in one night than I can fix in 3 days after he leaves. Hallelujah. If he can tear it up, I can fix it. Because God is on my side. And I'm on his side. Hallelujah. And God is my judge. He knows why I'm doing this. Hallelujah. He knows why I do it. He knoweth my mind. All right, so the bramble. Well, I think this is a very good illustration here. All right, let me say, did I already say, but I'll say again, that you can't come under the second anointing. I'd like to work this out, but I hadn't got time, or the third one either. But just let me say that David couldn't come to Zion with the first anointing. He couldn't come to Zion under the second anointing, but under the third anointing, he comes to Zion. Say, you know, I think Chuck read this scripture, or our brother Frank did, I forget who did, but it's Ephesians 1, if you want to make a note, Ephesians 1, verse 14, and he speaks of the earnest of our inheritance. He's talking about the Spirit, and the earnest means a down payment or part of it. Say, that's, and he's talking about the Holy Ghost. Just because you get the Holy Ghost don't mean that you're, I mean, that don't make you an intellectual or a spiritual genius. But it gives you a chance to mature, and he'll lead and guide you into all truth. You have the ability to come to Zion, but it doesn't automatically put you in Zion. Say, the earnest of our, that's what you got when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, that was a free gift. Say, did you ever go to the post office? We get our mail at the post office, get a box at the post office, and go down there. And every once in a while, I reach in there and pull out a box. Some soap company has made a new bar of soap, and they want to advertise it, so they mail me a bar of it. Says, take this and use it. It's free. Didn't cost me nothing. Didn't have to apply for it. Didn't have to do anything. They just got my name off of the list. Send everybody one. Free. Don't cost you nothing. If you like it, you can order some more. But if you get it, you got this one free, but if you get any more, you'll have to pay for it. Yeah. Hallelujah. You get the earnest of the Spirit, In the baptism, and that's free. But I tell you, if you get any enlargement on that, you'll have to do something. Hallelujah. And that's not salvation by works, but it's rewards by works. Salvation is free. You're saved by grace through faith. That's free. But if you get beyond just that bare salvation, it's for works. And all the rewards is by your works. And one of the books open at the judgment seat is a book of works. Hallelujah. You have to do something to get to Zion. If you take the line of least resistance, you will never get near Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll wind up like a lot of the charismatics that flew so high. And now they're back in their old dead denominations. Hallelujah. And glad to get back. This is a rough way if you want to half obey God and half be headstrong and do your own thing. It'll wear you down. It'll tear you up. But if you will submit your ways to God, hallelujah, teetotally, what God wants is a total commitment. You've heard the story of the pig and the chicken going down the road and seen a sign that says, ham and eggs. Chicken said, let's stop and get us some lunch. Pig said, not me. It's just token commitment for you, but with me, it's total commitment. Well, that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants total commitment. He doesn't, and the most he has gotten out of most people is, and I don't like to be hard, but I don't like to tell a falsehood either, and the most he got out of most people is just a token commitment. And you can follow that in all avenues of our life. You want to talk about giving? Well, about all he's got out of most people is a token dedication. So Linda was talking there tonight. Give of, you know, some that you need. Make a sacrificial offering. Do like the pig. Total commitment. But you see, that most people just give of their excess. Jesus stood by the offering plate and watched them give. Some of them came by and dropped in big offerings, but this little woman came by. Hey, I wonder why I call her a little woman. I bet she weighed 250 pounds. I don't know. But the Bible just says a little woman. But I've always said a little woman. Sometimes I don't know. Well, anyway, he said, somebody mentioned, said, hey, did you see that big offering old Joe dropped in there? He said, hey, I'll tell you something. That woman, what a woman, she put in more than all of them put together. She didn't put in but two mites. I think that'd be two ordinary days work, minimum wage. I heard somebody run that up on a computer, and I seen somebody run it up on a computer and sent it to me. And on an 8x11, it had a lot of big numbers like 8, 7, 9, 6, 4, and then so many zeros that run plumb off the sheet over there. That's how much he would have had at 8% interest the day he run it up. It was more than the national debt. It would have been more than all the debts owed in the United States, combined with the national debt. If she had just drawn 8% interest on it and let it compound until now, he said she give more than all of them put together. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord means when he says, hey, lay your treasures up in heaven. When you know, people develop a habit that, if it's a good habit, well, that's good. But if it's a bad habit, that's bad, isn't it? And habits are hard to break. How many of you know habits are hard to break? Yeah, well, one young guy in my church, he's always had a hard time sharing anything with the Lord, any finances, that is. He goes off on hobbies and fads and spends a lot of money. He made real good, and he got a lump sum of money here, not too long ago, he's going to pay off his house and his car and get out of debt. And he said to me, Brother Jackson, man, said, I'm going to pay up my car and my house and get out of debt. Said, I might even be able to pay my tithes. And I said, oh, I imagine you will find some reason not to do that. And sure enough, he found a reason not to do it. I don't know if I spoke that into existence or not. But no, what I knew was his habitual life plan. And I knew that this don't change it. I said, I'm sure you'll find something else to do with that. And kind of, you know, just kept on going. He didn't say anything. Sure enough, he found him something to do. Now he's going into, he buys horses and rides them and plays with them. And, you know, and as far as I know, he hadn't given the Lord a dollar. Of course, he could have given him $1 and slipped by me or a few, but he couldn't have given much that I wouldn't know about it. Praise the Lord. Hey, I know what's going on around there. I'm the pastor. Well, I'm filling in. That's the same thing. Hallelujah. Oh, it's been a good run, hasn't it? Hallelujah. I wouldn't take nothing from my experience. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord forever. God bless you real good. You've been a real good people tonight to receive this message as you have. And I may have been lengthy, but it'd take me a little longer than that if I would tell y'all I know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed Lord. Lord, just now I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven on this people. I pray that, oh, Lord, yes, I seal this word to this people. I seal it in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirits. That is all of it that would be profitable to them in their pursuit of the kingdom. But if I've said anything, Lord, that is unprofitable to the kingdom, I pray that you'd have them to forget it before they get out of the tabernacle. Lord, I have nothing to publish but your blessed kingdom. I do it for no reason except that I'm called. And I love the calling, O Lord. And thou whom my soul loveth knows my heart tonight, O Lord. This is a great people. The Lord, thank you, Lord, you have shown me some things about this people as I minister tonight and even now. And I see that I'm standing before a great people. Yea, I see that there are people here with a great and lofty destiny, O Lord. My God, I tell you, it seems to me as if you're saying, nothing shall be too good for my people. Yea, you are the sheep of my pasture. Yea, you are the apple of mine eye. Yea, you are mine, and I am yours, saith the Lord. Yea, I have loved you from before the foundation of the world. Yea, I have chosen you in my own Son before the foundation of the world was laid, saith the Lord. Yea, you are of a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Yea, but it is a good people that the Lord hath called together. I shall often gather you together, yea, to pour out my spirit and bring refreshment to you, saith the Lord. I shall often call you into meetings, yea, that you may be blessed and that you may receive deliverance until that blessed day that you have received complete deliverance, saith the Lord. And you stand on Zion with the mark of God in your forehead, yea, and the mark in your right hand in fellowship with God. Yea, an exclusive people shall ye be, and there ye shall see eye to eye, and judge not after the hearing of the ear or the seeing of the eye. Yea, the wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall blossom as a rose. It shall blossom and be glad, for the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them, and the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Highway shall be there in the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the ransomed of the Lord shall walk there, and the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, sadness and sorrow shall flee away. God bless you real good. Brother Glenn, you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.